Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to News Crunch, a new monthly segment on At Home with Victoria. Join TV journalist and news lady Victoria Gaither along with her smart, witty, and colorful guests as they crunch newsmakers and stories while putting their own spin on issues. Here's Victoria.
I hope that everybody's having a really, really, really nice Friday. Normally, I have to say we don't do News Crunch on Friday, but of course, with all the interesting topics that have been taking place in the news, I thought it was very fit that we tried to move that date up. Mainly what we're going to talk about tonight on the show is Casey Anthony. You cannot watch a television. You can't be in your car listening to the radio. You can't be having your BlackBerry or your smartphone or anything without seeing Casey Anthony case pops up. So that's what we're going to spend our 30 minutes on News Crunch to talk about today. I got two great guests that I know all of you are going to like. One happens to be a very, very good friend of mine. His name is Grover, and Grover is also in the television broadcasting industry, and he is actually working in Florida, so he's going to be very good, and that I think he'll be able to give us a perspective of sort of what life is like down there in Florida with the trial and all of that going on. Since a lot of us don't live there, I just think it would be kind of cool just to get a different perspective from a journalist on what he and his reporters are seeing down there. And the second person who's going to join us on News Crunch tonight, her name is Jen. Jen is actually an author, and she's a publisher. She has her own publishing company. So Jen Blanton is going to join us, and she's kind of the third person out. So she already said to me before we started the show, she says, Victoria, I'm just going to give my honest opinion on what I think, and that's certainly what I do want from her. So with that said, we'll go ahead and see if we can bring Grover in on the conversation first. Grover, thanks for being here tonight.
Hey, how are you?
I am very, very good. Grover, you stay right there, and I'm going to grab Jen and bring her in on the conversation. Jen, thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Victoria. Thank you for having me.
So listen, let's first start off with just trying to give everybody an update. I just got finished watching the news and, you know, the wires and all that stuff and what's going on. So the latest thing that I saw was that initially she was to be released, I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, but now she's not going to be released. She, meaning Casey Anthony, until Sunday of next week. I believe they recrunched the numbers and determined that it was actually Sunday as opposed to the original date that they first gave us. And the second thing that I thought was interesting, her mother came to visit her in jail, and she turned her mother away. She did not want to see her mother. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, Grover, just to get an idea from you, because I know you guys have people down there covering that, tell us a little bit what the feeling is like. Is it really that frenzy that we see on television?
You know, actually, when the case actually first started, when they started picking their the jurors here in Pinellas County, that's when we noticed the hype. That's when we noticed the heat behind the case starting. When Casey Anthony came to Pinellas County, pretty much it was a media frenzy. Everyone was flocking to Pinellas County from Orange County, which is on the east coast of Florida. So basically, you know, since the picking of the jury started, that's when we noticed everyone coming down here. And then once the trial moved back to Orange County, all of our reporters who work in Orange County and then also in Pinellas County started noticing news crews coming from all over the place, from CNN, from ABC Network, NBC, everyone from Florida, the stations from California. So it's you can actually tell there's a difference between now from when the case has ended to when it was going on. Every station in Florida, that's what we all led with. At the top of our 5 and 6 o'clock shows was definitely Casey Anthony, the up-to-date version of the packages that would run. Mm-hmm. From the 5 and the 6 o'clock, what happened on the trial, what didn't happen, what bombshells were dropped. At the very mm-hmm. first day, there were several bombshells that were dropped from the defense. So it's definitely a case that everyone loves, everyone cares about in the United States. And I would venture to say the world, too.
Yeah, I would know. I would definitely say that. And it's funny because I was in a grocery store, Grover and Jen, and there was a young lady there who knows that I'm a television journalist, and she actually said to me, which actually wasn't funny, but her point was well taken, was that she wished every single kid in America that went missing, that every kid would get that same amount of attention as this case has gotten, and perhaps we can find a lot of these other kids. But there were certainly elements that I think about the case that just touch so many people, and like you said, even in the world, no matter who you are, what your background is, where you come from, just the thought that you had this cute little kid, and literally still to this day, although the trial is over, we still don't know really what happened to her. So I've kind of chalked it up in my mind that I think it's going to end up what was the other case with JonBenet Ramsey. I think we can probably, unfortunately, may be able to put it in the category as that kind of case. But Jen, I know you said I don't know if you followed it a lot, but you were certainly aware of all of that was going on. When you heard about the verdict, the not guilty, were you surprised, or just what were your thoughts?
Absolutely, I was surprised. I was actually at work, and a lot of us were watching it on the internet, on the news station here, and literally in a building that has probably about 7,000 people in it. When the verdict came in, it was just like, are you serious? Are you serious? And you're almost like speechless, depending on how you feel about the evidence, but speechless that that happened. And just as you guys have expressed, that's the only thing that people were talking about for several days. You would just see people in the halls, and it's like, can you believe that verdict? Can you really believe that no justice was given to this baby?
Yeah, I think I certainly think how you feel. A lot of people still today feel that. And Grover, you had mentioned something to me about a sign at a restaurant that you saw down there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's here in Pinellas County, there was a sign going back to people not believing that the way that the verdict was rendered. There's a lot of disbelief. There are people here in Florida that are actually not happy with the way that the verdict was rendered, and with the jury came back to that verdict. So, like I was telling Victoria earlier, that there was a restaurant here that said no Pinellas County jurors allowed, and that's basically means that the Casey Anthony jury that sat on the jury aren't allowed in that restaurant. And there's also a sign, I believe, in South Florida, with the same sign that they have up in their restaurant. So it's you can definitely tell that there's a dislike for the jurors, because there wasn't, in their eyes, justice served for Kaylee Anthony. Again, all of the media here in Florida, especially in Central Florida, Orlando and Tampa. Everyone had, while the case was going on and while the trial was going on, that's all that we ran for the whole entire day, the whole trial coverage from gavel to gavel coverage.
Did you guys regular programming, and you ran it live down there?
Yeah, we ran everything live. We have the ability to do that since we're 24-hour news here. We have the ability to preempt other coverage that we have and just do whatever we want. So pretty much from gavel to gavel coverage, we had that each and every day. That's what we promised our viewers, and that's what we gave them. And we actually did a package the other day about what made this case so interesting compared to the other missing children's cases in the United States. And the consensus was that it was this little girl. The family, they didn't understand the family. There were so many lies that were told. There were 31 days that she went missing before anyone in Orange County police department knew that she was missing, and no one knew where this little girl was. So that's where the consensus came in as to why so many people fell in love with Kaylee Anthony, and why the story made such national news.
Well, I certainly think that right now it's not going to die down. I think it's probably died down just a little bit, but of course, on Sunday, which is the date that next Sunday she is to be released, of course, I'm sure there'll be another media frenzy on that. But I also heard that the judge did not want to release the names of the juror because he is really concerned for their safety. But I got to tell you, if I were a juror on one of those, if I were a juror on that, I don't think I want my information released either, because people are really, really, really mad. Now, I did see a couple of jurors, a young lady on, I think it was ABC News, who talked, and there was another gentleman that I saw who talked. But I'm sure that I know there's going to be plenty of dollar tags put in front of their faces to get those interviews, and I'm sure that's going to be highly competitive. Jim, let me ask you this: do you think that when that after the trial is over, that jurors, for example, should be paid, you know, $15,000, $20,000, $50,000 to tell their story? Do you think there's anything wrong with them getting paid to tell their story about what they experienced as jurors on the trial?
Oh gosh, I'm actually kind of midway on that. I see both sides of the coin. I certainly don't believe that you should be paid extra money just because you sit on the trial. When I have to go to trial, I only make the little $2 that they give me to sit in there for 8 hours.
Right.
You know, no one wants to hear my story. But in a trial like this, if someone is willing, especially with all of the backlash that they're, you know, going to receive from such a high-profile case, if some news media outlet feels that their story is worthy enough to, you know, that they want to spend that money, I definitely don't disagree with that. As you mentioned, I myself saw one of the jurors on TV. It was a gentleman, and I apologize, I can't remember his name, but he seemed to be very grief-stricken, although he was on the jury. And, of course, as a juror, you know, you have to make your decision based on, you know, reasonable doubt, or, you know, that doubt.
Right.
And even though they have certain feelings, and where you obviously could tell that he felt that Casey Anthony was guilty, but because the evidence didn't stick, you have to, you know, do what is right, and you have to obey the law. So, you know, I think as a juror, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing that, I'm sorry, Victoria, that's the same thing that, Jennifer Ford, she was another juror that was on the jury. I think juror number three. She said that she was, you know, the evidence wasn't there just to convict her of the crime, and they were crying as the verdict was read, because they believe that they thought that she may have had something to do with the actual murder itself, but there was the state's evidence just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it seems like, and that's a lot of the alternates that we're talking to, that we talked to yesterday and the day before, said the same exact thing, that the state just didn't have a strong case against Casey.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going to say, I guess because I'm a journalist and I kind of live and breathe this stuff, I always had the trial on in my house, whether I was cleaning or, you know, whatever I was doing, I always had the opportunity to listen to it. And I just remember thinking most of the time that I just kept waiting for evidence to come forth where they were actually going to say, yes, you know, like, I don't know, we saw her there, somebody saw her do this, we saw her do, yes,
like fingerprints or something.
I don't know,
like
her
that.
Fingerprints, whatever, but I just,
exactly.
And I remember thinking that when it was over, that, you know, I have to say, if I were sitting there, that would be tough, because it's one thing that you know in your heart that you feel that somebody did it, but the way our, you know, system is that, you know, you've got to go by the law of the letter, and I didn't hear, you know, any specific evidence myself that actually said that. I mean, you know, we can speculate all we want. So that was just my own personal observation of just listening to it myself, that I just really didn't see that key evidence that they actually could point to her and say, yes. Now, lying for sure, I mean, she lied a lot, and she lied all the time. So, I mean, certainly lying, that's for sure. But Jim, what do you think of the whole idea, like her mother went to go see her today and she turned her mom away? I mean, there's going to have to be some serious healing that's going to have to take place in that family.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, my own personal opinion is going to have to start with Casey. You know, she's going to have to at least admit or come to terms or accept, own up to the ownership, at least of the child abuse and the neglect that went on, you know, toward this baby, and admit her faults. And only then, I think, can healing begin to occur, because as long as she's in that state of denial, nobody's going to be able to reach her, and it's going to remain that way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the way Casey is. I don't know. I hope that happens for her, but it seems like it's probably going to take a little bit of time. And I know there was another part of the whole trial that was interesting to me after it was over, when Jose Baez and her defense team apparently went to celebrate. That seemed to leave a bad sour taste in the mouth of a lot of people, that they thought it was kind of, you know, not so cool that after something like that, you know, you go to celebrate. But part of me can feel like I understand why they did that, because I'm sure it was just like a big relief and stress off of them. They've been living with this thing for 3 years. That was just interesting that there were so many people who were upset that they went to go celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, Grover.
Oh, no, go ahead, Jen.
No, I was just going to say, just as just your morals, it just seems like, I agree with you, Victoria, that even though you may be elated that this trial is over and, yes, you've got a victory because you're a lawyer and that's what you're always going for, it's just still a murder of a child has been unsolved and it's not taken care of.
Right.
Exactly. And I think another thing that came up today was that there's a, not a wrongful death, but it's a another charge. She's actually being brought back to court again from the nanny. The nanny is actually taking her to court. And that was brought up today because there's those questions that we probably will have want to know in the actual regular trial. We'll probably find out what actually happened in those 31 days leading up to the first call to Orange County PD saying, "Hey, listen, right, Kaylee's missing." So I think that will put the puzzles together for the first 31 days of, well, where in the heck was Kaylee?
Right.
You know, the nanny's, Casey Anthony saying that she was with the nanny, but there really wasn't a nanny. So
right.
Casey has now answered those questions as to where she was for 31 days, what she was actually doing, where was Kaylee at this point, and those questions will have to be answered, and I think that's when we'll finally figure out, okay, so this is maybe possibly the new piece of the puzzle might start to fall in place. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, and it is my my understanding from listening to some of the leaked experts on television that she has already been served with that. So probably from the day that she gets out of prison on Sunday, that they probably apparently whoever this lawyer is, and I can't think of his name, he is a pit bull and the man takes no prisoners. So they're saying that he's going to make that happen within the first 2 days of her being out of out of prison. So, yeah, it's just a whole interesting story. And I want to thank everybody who is with us right now inside the chat room. That's got actually a lot of quite great questions. And some of these questions, guys, I'm not sure about, but I know they're trying to figure out who's going to pay. Does the state of Florida pay for Casey's lawyer? I'm not sure about who's paying footing the bill for that, but I guarantee you if you Google it, it will definitely come up. And some other comments that they're saying right now inside the chat room too is that that they hope that that she does not profit anything, meaning of Casey Anthony, from selling her story. But I don't know. I think definitely she'll probably will end up making some money off of this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see what she does with it, if, you know, maybe she do something good with it to create a foundation or something for her daughter. Who knows what she's going to do with it. But I mean, Grover, she's probably going to make a lot of money, don't you think?
Yeah, she will. She definitely will. There's already book deals out right now. As soon as we're hearing from our sister stations out in Orlando, that there's already deals that are being made from the first minute that she walks out the door, just like the jurors are making money. The very first juror was, you know, giving thousands of dollars and whisked off to Disney World. So, you know, it's just those little things that she's going to be, as soon as she gets out the door of out the jail, those deals will be coming in, and you know it's just a matter of time to see who will actually make the first deal with her, and what will actually be done with that money. You know, if there's a scholarship fund for Kaylee, that would be awesome. I don't see that happening, in my personal opinion, but you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, there's definitely deals that are in the making that right now, movie deals, book deals.
And that juror number three that you're talking about, I believe she got $20,000 and a weekend trip to Disney, right?
Just to sell her case. I'm sorry, her story to ABC News. She was given $20,000 and taken to Disney. So that's a nice trip.
Yeah,
very much. So I guess, Jen, that gets back to my point where I asked you, do you think it's good or bad that they get to do that? But at the same time, hey, you know, this is America, and that's kind of how it goes in this case. Everybody's willing to pay a price for something, whether it's information or whatever it is. Yeah. But, it's just kind of, you know, it can just certainly, I think, leave a bad taste, as everybody is saying inside the chat room, that, you know, to get a free trip to Disney and $20,000 and all this as a result, this kid, you know, who was murdered, and we still don't know what happened to her. So that is very,
you know, it'll be interesting with the judge. It'll be interesting what the judge does in the next 7 to 10 days with releasing the jurors' names. That's another thing that Victoria and I were talking about earlier today. Yesterday, the legal attorneys for the Orlando Sentinel and WFTV in Orlando, they went to the judge and they said, hey, listen, you know, usually after cases, the jurors' names are released. But now their jurors' names are being held back because of different threats that are being made to the jurors at this time. The ones that have come forward, number three that we already talked about, there's another gentleman that's come forward for the right price, as he says. But the other jurors, they don't want to be named just yet, or have their name exposed for different reasons. There's a cool-off period that the judge has asked for, and that's what he's still deciding on, if he's going to allow that or not. Since there's so many threats against the jurors, yesterday there was, if you watch the case again, Judge Perry was talking about this one gentleman here in Florida is saying that he wanted to fillet one of the jurors and then feed him to the piranhas. That has the jurors on this case extremely scared at this point. And so now the judge has to decide what's he going to do next. Is he going to release the names? Will he hold them? What will he do? And I think that's the big question as to what happens with the jury, with their names being released, and when Kaylee comes out of jail, what she's going to do next. So there's a lot of questions still with this case.
Yeah, interesting, and definitely no doubt. Can you guys believe that 30 minutes is already over? So no doubt we'll have to continue this conversation. But Grover, listen, thank you so much for being here, and thank your news director, because I know you really are supposed to be working right now. So I thank you and also your news director for letting you sneak away to join in on the conversation. So we'll let you go back to work. So thank you so much for being here, my friend.
You know, I'm actually fine. We're fine now. We're just in weather coverage. So I can stick with a little bit.
Okay, you can stay for a couple more seconds. Well,
yeah.
Well, let's just switch subjects a little bit, because I wanted Jen, before we do have to get off the air. She's has her publishing company and is an author and does all that good stuff. Tell us a little bit about that area of your life.
Okay, yes, thank you. I am a publisher, and the name of my publishing company is Svelte Books. That's spelled SVELTEBOOKS. We primarily right now are publishing fiction works, Christian fiction, just regular fiction, and motivational works. You can find us on the internet. Our books are on Amazon. They're on Kindle. They're about to be on the Barnes & Noble's Nook as well, so we're doing, you know, very well, and just thank everybody for the support that are supporting our books.
And plus, we can also find you on Facebook. So all of her information is on my page on Facebook and also here on BTR. So make sure you find her on Facebook and add her, because she's doing a lot of good things. And, in fact, I've had the opportunity to interview one of her authors on my show. So, Jen, thank you so much for being with us, and I do appreciate your feedback as well as your point of view, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you again for having me.
Okay. Thank you
show.
So much. And,
thank you. And
Grover, we've got a couple more seconds. Getting back to the whole Casey Anthony, I know you can't give, your own personal opinion, but I was interested in something that a young lady just emailed me. I got emailed as the show was on live, and she said from a journalist's point of view, she wants to know, would this case sort of be considered in our world of TV and news and information really be considered sort of a Mac Daddy of a Dick Kahuna case? And I told her I certainly think it is, just like O.J. Simpson was. So what are your thoughts on that?
It definitely was. It was interesting, you know, coming from Baltimore, and then being thrown into this case. It was definitely interesting having to catch up on everything. I still to this very day have a timeline of the events leading up to this actual case. But yeah, it was definitely a Mac Daddy case. Definitely something that I'm glad I had an experience. I was able to join and be a part of with my station. But yeah, it was definitely a huge, huge case for us here in Central Florida, and especially in Orlando, where Casey Anthony's from.
Yeah. And I was, of course, very excited when I was sort of going down my list to find out who I was going to have on News Crunch. And so the whole thing with Casey Anthony just happened. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, Grover's in Florida. I'm like, this will be great. So that was so perfect that you were there, and I certainly was able to be here with us. So since you're the guest, I'll sort of give you the final thought. So what should all of us be looking for now out of this thing? We've got next Sunday to her apparently leaving prison. So what do you think sort of the next phase is going to be?
Next Sunday we're all on call here at the station, so that's what we're still trying to figure out what actually is going to happen. So that's basically, I think we'll see her get taken away. I don't see Casey living here in Florida anymore. I just don't see it. I see her coming back and forth for different reasons, for different
right.
cases that she may have to come back for, different court dates. But as for living here,
right.
I don't see it. I think there has to be some kind of repair, just like Jen said, with inside the family. Her own family isn't happy with her. Her aunt came out the other day and said that she wasn't happy with the verdict, and even her ex-boyfriend was the same exact way. So it's a lot to see. It's a lot to understand at this point. And there's still a lot of questions about what's going to happen next with the investigation. Is it dead? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for the defense attorneys? Who's going to pay for the actual Orange County PD being out there and investigating on tips and lies that were told?
Right.
So yeah, it's a lot of stuff still up in the air with this case.
All right. Well, listen, we thank you so much for being here, and hopefully you'll be back again the next time we do Casey Anthony to give us some more information. Thank you so much, Grover.
Thank you so much, Victoria.
And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. We were talking about Casey Anthony on News Crunch. So as Grover said, make sure you continue to follow the case and just see what happens from here. But I do want to say that I certainly hope that none of the jurors are, you know, injured, because they did what they were. So, again, I want to thank everybody who listened today inside the chat room. We have the one and only entertainment co-host Michael Kay, who is inside there. Barb, say hi to Buttons for us. Fabulous Sandy. Sandy has been missing all of us so much on Facebook. I think we just need to do a special show for Sandy and just bring everybody together for a couple of days for a Sandy Fest. Marilyn Bennett, I want to thank you so much. Bella, 75, and also we've had some guests that were visiting us inside the chat room as well. So listen, guys, thank you so much, and have a very good night.
You are listening to News Crunch, a new monthly segment on At Home with Victoria. Join TV journalist and news lady Victoria Gaither, along with her smart, witty, and colorful guests, as they crunch newsmakers and stories while putting their own spin on issues. Here's Victoria.